You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Welcome to another episode of JX Reads. Today we're celebrating National Hispanic Heritage Month with recommended readings from our resident book guides. Joining me in the studio are two librarians from Jackson County Library Services. Kristen Anderson is the branch manager of the Ashland Public Library in Bear Creek area. Welcome, Kristen.
Good to be back.
And Milagros Morales is the Spanish Services Coordinator with Jackson County Library Services. Welcome to the Exchange.
Thanks for having me.
I want to set the stage for our discussion of recommended readings today by first giving some background information from the National Museum of the American Latino. It offers valuable insight into the history of the Hispanic Heritage Month, which is celebrated from September 15th to October 15th. Now, it says, the Latino presence in America spans centuries, predating Spain's colonization of what is now part of the United States, and they have been an integral part of shaping the U.S. since the Revolutionary War. Through the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo and the Treaty of Paris that followed the Mexican-American and Spanish-American Wars, the United States gained territories in the southwest of this continent and Puerto Rico. This incorporated the peoples of these areas into the United States and further expanded the presence of Hispanic Americans. So Hispanic Heritage Month began as a week-long celebration in 1968 under President Lyndon B. Johnson, and it was expanded to a month by President Reagan in 1988. The celebration begins in the middle of September, as I said before, and ends in the middle of October. The time frame is significant because many Central American countries celebrated their independence days within these dates, beginning on September 15th with Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua, and September 16th is Mexico, September 18th is Chile, and September 21 is Belize, and you can learn more on their website. Today, the Census Bureau's count of the Latino population in the United States is more than 60 million. That makes up about 19% of the total population, which makes Latin Americans the largest racial or ethnic group in the United States. And of course, Latinos continue to help fuel our economy and enrich our nation as entrepreneurs, athletes, artists, entertainers, scientists, teachers, political leaders, and much more, including librarians. So let's talk about the difference between the term Hispanic and Latino and Latina.
Yeah, so Hispanic, from how I understand it and like the research that I've done about it, is a Hispanic is primarily countries whose main language is Spanish. So in that case, it would include countries like Spain, but exclude countries like Brazil. And then Latino, Latina, Latinx, that would include Brazil, and that is basically just any Latin American country, or like including Mexico, Central America, South America.
Okay, so Hispanic connotes language, mm-hmm. and Latin is geography.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's preferable?
I think, and like what I would like to tell people is that it is really a self-identifying thing, so it depends a lot on the individual person. The term Hispanic was coined during the 1970s through the Census Bureau because they didn't know what to call this subset of people. And a lot of people don't feel that Hispanic necessarily best describes them because it has a lot of like colonial connotations because it is so connected with Spain specifically. At JCLS, we like to use the term Latinx because we feel that it's more inclusive. But of course, it's up to the individual person, I think. Like, as Latinos, what we mostly identify with is, like, the country that we're from. So when I tell people, I'm like, oh, I'm Mexican rather than Latino. Or sometimes if I just want to be a little bit more general, I'll say, like, oh, I'm Latina. So it is not a great answer to your question, but it depends on the individual person.
No, it does give me some insight. So Hispanic really has a connotation of colonial conquests.
Yeah.
And Latinx just covers Latino and Latina.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay, so let's get into some of the books written by Latinx authors. Milagros, tell us about the book After Hours.
Yeah, so I like this one because it has my name in it. After Hours on Milagros Street is a really fun, I like to describe it as like an enemies, rivals to lovers kind of thing. It follows our main character, Alex Torres, who comes back home to try and revitalize her family's bar. It follows a lot of like family relationships and like inter-conflicts that they have. And working together with people who maybe you have a strained relationship with. There's the male main character, Alex, who kind of just, or sorry, that's Jeremiah is the male main character. Sorry about that. They kind of have to work together when like an old enemy comes back in and threatens not only like the family bar, but also the whole community. There's elements of magical realism in it. It also does a really good job of telling like Mexican American history within like a community space. And then obviously there's like the romance element of these two people who maybe butt heads a little bit and then they like, you know, fall in love and that happily ever after. And it ties it in with like a really expansive story with these other characters in the family.
Okay, so it's historical fiction.
It has elements of it. I definitely, like, I think above all else, it's a romance, but there's so many other things that can come with a romance. It has, like, how long they've been in that community, what that bar has meant to the community, and then her trying to save it for these reasons because she thinks it's such a special place.
Gotcha. Okay, and so the title and the author again?
After Hours on Milagro Street, Milagro, just one, not two like me. And the author is Angelina M. Lopez. And if you have read the book and you love it and you're interested in talking more about it, the White City Library will actually be doing a book club for it this Thursday the 10th from 2 to 3:30 p.m.
Okay, that's good to know. Kristen.
Yes.
You have a haunting novel called Salt Bones.
Yes, I've read this fairly recently, and it is it's a little darker than a romance with a happily ever after, but it has parallels in that it has some magical realism elements in it. And I think that's something that we see a lot of in like with the Gabriel Garcia Marquez and other like people who did magic realism came up in that canon of literature, so you see a lot of it in Latin American literature, and we probably need to unpack magic realism at a certain point. But let me just talk about this book right now. So, Salt Bones is a kind of a mystery thriller horror. When you read detailed descriptions of butchering, you're usually reading horror, and this has that. So if you're a vegetarian, this may creep you out. But it's set in the Salton Sea, so it's borderlands. It's Southern California, but very indigenous inflected. The author is both Mexican American and indigenous. And this book is about a family and missing girls over multiple generations. And there's like a big ranching family that is also kind of has some villain energy going on in the story. So you've got like this multi-generational mystery happening, and Mal is the main character, and she has young daughters, and her sister went missing, and now another young girl has gone missing, and she's a butcher, she's also working to solve the mystery in her community and deal with some issues of injustice and things like that as well.
Okay, so that touches on some real life issues as well.
It does. It does.
You're listening to JX Reads on the Jefferson Exchange. Our book guides today are Kristen Anderson and Milagros Morales from Jackson County Library Services. Milagros, you have a Spanish title by Silvia Moreno Garcia, right?
Yes, this was translated into Spanish from English. This one is Dioses de Hada y Sombra. The English equivalent is Gods of Jade and Shadow.
Can you say that again?
In English or Spanish?
Both.
Both. Dioses de Hada y Sombra, Gods of Jade and Shadow.
Okay.
Yeah, and this follows Cassiopeia, who lives in the Yucatan in Mexico, and it has a bit of like a Cinderella element to it where she's like has to do all of the housework for her family, and her grandpa is like not a great guy. And so one day she finds a key to this trunk and she releases a Mayan death god, Huncame, you know, and then hilarity ensues. They have to go on this journey across Mexico.
Hang on a second. She releases the death god.
As you do.
See, these things happen.
That's magical realism, baby.
And hilarity ensues.
Yes. So she, you know, has lived in this small town her whole life, and now she gets to explore all of Mexico, and they have to find these pieces that he's missing so that he can reclaim his throne. And I am very excited to announce that this will be the Spanish title for our Rogue Reads program this winter. So if you are a fan of Silvia Moreno Garcia, now is your chance to start reading it and enjoy some programming come winter time.
Well, tell me what Rogue Reads is.
So that is our, pardon me, our winter reading program where we encourage people in the community to read the same book. So there'll be an English title, a Spanish title, and then a family read. And then we will have different programming both in our branches and hopefully out in the community so that people can come out and talk about this book.
Okay, so like a giant book club.
Yes.
Yep. Yep, yep.
Okay, well, let's stay with Silvia Moreno Garcia for, yeah, for the moment. Kristen, you have read her books.
I've read a lot of her books. And while so the first one of hers that I read completely was Mexican Gothic, which has a banger cover. And I think it just it really caught on, and a lot of people read it. It looks very romantic-y. It's actually a retelling of The Fall of the House of Usher by Edgar Allan Poe. And she did actually really start doing a bunch of retellings at a certain point. She's not doing as much of that anymore. Her most recent book is called The Intrigue, and it's not, it doesn't have fantasy or horror baked into it. It's more historical, but she writes cross-genre. So she's got horror books, she's got romantasy, she's got a lot, and a lot of it is set in Mexico. Her bio says that she's Canadian by choice and Mexican by birth, maybe, or something. She has roots in both Canada and Mexico, though. Gotcha. Yeah, and she writes in English, but is translated into Spanish because so many of her books are set in Mexico. Yeah.
What's the name of the book that's Edgar Allan Poe?
Okay, like? So the Edgar Allan Poe version is Fall of the House of Usher, and the Silvia Moreno Garcia version is called Mexican Gothic.
Mexican Gothic.
Mexican Gothic, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, my favorite, though, of hers is The Seventh Veil of Salome, which is a more of a historical, and it's set in old Hollywood, and the main character is from Mexico and has moved to Hollywood, and it deals with racism in Hollywood in lots of interesting ways, but it's also a retelling of Salome. So,
okay, and she also has Silver Nitrate?
Yes, and that is set in Mexico City, and it's about... It's a horror. That one's very much a horror novel, and it's about Mexican cinema. So people who like or who are cinephiles, who appreciate like film that's come from Mexico, it's really deeply tied to that. And I don't know a lot about that, but I was able to access it and enjoy it just for the horror story.
Okay, and so she's got another one, The Bewitching.
The Bewitching came out last year, and that is set mostly in the United... It's partially in the United States, partially in Mexico, partially in Texas. And it's there's three different plot lines going on, and it's one of those that has some dark academia vibes because the modern part of the story is set on a college campus, and she's researching the story of one of the parallel plot lines that you're reading. And there is magic and fantasy and a little horror in that one.
Okay. And yeah. Speaking of magic and fantasy, Milagros, you have a title that blends historical fiction and magical realism. Tell me about the title by Gina Maria, I think is Balabrera.
Yeah. Las Hijas del Volcán, this one also has an English version, The Volcano Daughters. This one is set in the 1920s in El Salvador. It follows this indigenous community, you know, under a dictator's rule and, you know, the hardships that they experience. It has some elements of family separation in it. I'm like halfway through it. I'm so intrigued by what's the things are starting to go awry where I'm at in the book. I think one of the things that I like the most about this is that the narrators are these girls who knew the main characters, but they have, this is not a spoiler because it happens in the first page. They tell you, like, we are ghosts and we are dead. And there's something really, like, haunting about that, but it is, they're snarky, they're sassy, and it makes you laugh out loud, even though it has, like, really dark themes on it.
Oh, and then the title again?
Las Hijas del Volcán, and then the English title is The Volcano Daughters.
By?
Gina Maria Balveria.
You're listening to The Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Welcome back to JX Reads on The Jefferson Exchange. We're celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month with a collection of recommended readings by Hispanic authors. I think I should say Latinx authors.
Either or.
Either or. Okay. Our book guides today are Kristen Anderson. She's the branch manager at the Ashland Public Library in Bear Creek area for Jackson County Library Services. And Milagros Morales is the Spanish Services Coordinator with Jackson County Library Services. Now, before the break, we were discussing several titles produced by Hispanic or Latinx authors. And I'd like to toss one into the mix. It's a book published by the University of Arizona Press that chronicles the history of undocumented youth movements in the United States during the 21st century. Now, this book invites readers to explore how undocumented youth activists changed the way immigrant rights are discussed in America today. Seldom do we think about the fact that in 1790, the founding fathers established the very first law regarding who could be a citizen of the United States. And that was the 1790 Naturalization Act, which restricted U.S. citizenship solely to free white persons. That's a quote, free white persons, end quote. And so that eliminated black people who had been brought here as free labor for the benefit of white citizens, and it eliminated the indigenous peoples whose lands were taken by force. And so the question of who is and isn't an American citizen has been at the core of the ongoing experiment since the era of Reconstruction, which sought to transform a white America into a multiracial democracy with a 14th Amendment to the Constitution in 1868. And over the past eight generations since the Civil War, the laws governing immigration have changed frequently with a focus on non-white immigrants. So the book I'm introducing is titled Illegalized, Undocumented Youth Movements in the United States. It's written by Rafael Martinez. He's an assistant professor of Southwest Borderlands at Arizona State University. And in this meticulously researched work, Martinez includes his own journey and his experience as an undocumented youth who successfully navigated the difficult path for deferred action for childhood arrivals, also known as DACA. And he refers to the process of hyperdocumentation to reach the status of what he calls documented, which is a play on the acronym DACA. So for anyone seeking to fully understand what the U.S. is doing to the children of non-white immigrants from other American countries, this is a must-read, Illegalized, Undocumented Youth Movements in the United States by Rafael Martinez. So that's my contribution to this. Milagros, you have some recommended nonfiction titles as well, right?
Yes, I do. I've just recently started reading nonfiction. It's just as fun as fiction. So I wanted to plug a local author, Manya Yana Herrera, who is going to be releasing Legalize My Mother, a collection of poems, prayers, and chants. That's a title that I'm really excited for. You might know her. She is one of the owners of, and I might be pronouncing the restaurant name incorrectly, but Thalia, over on A Street here in Ashland, a delicious Mexican restaurant.
I think it's Tlali.
Tlali. Thank you, that's Kristen.
I could be wrong.
That's yes, how it's on A Street.
How do you spell it?
T-L-A-L-I.
T-L-A-L-L-I.
Ah.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's over on A Street, 542 A Street in Ashland, Oregon. So I'm very excited for that title to come out. And then another sort of like poem, almost like memoir in a sense, is Tías and Primas on Knowing and Loving the Woman Who Raised Us by Prisca Dorcas Mojica Rodriguez. This is just a really like moving collection of these like sort of, I don't want to say stereotypes, but like these women that you know, like your abuelas, your the like crazy cousins, the tías, and it just felt like with every chapter, she was introducing like a member of my family, or I could feel like, oh, that's a characteristic that I have, or I learned this from this person in my family. So if you want like a really like moving, touching, like read about your family, and also like anything negative that they say about like this person, like, oh, this crazy person in your family, it comes from such like a human perspective of like, think of all the things that happened to create this character. So it's really just like, yeah, it's so like loving in a sense.
Okay. So it's a familiarity of family and culture.
Yes. Yeah. Great way to describe it. Yeah.
Okay. So quick question. Now, the name of this author is?
Prisca Dorcas Mojica Rodriguez.
So tell me, what's the background behind multiple different names? We're talking 4 to 5 times.
Yeah, I have 4 names myself, so I get that. A lot of it comes, and this is my history degree coming back, a lot of Latin American countries, and I think Spain does this too, they keep their mother's maiden name. So it's usually, so that already gives you 2 names right there to begin with. And, you know, there's so much in a name. And especially, so it's like we have 4 names, use all 4 of them kind of thing. And they tell the story of your family, obviously, because we're not erasing our mother's side of our family because they're just important as our father's side or whoever. So that I think is how we get so many names already, because we have 2 of them hyphened.
Well, it's interesting because I was raised Catholic way back when, and we had given names, Christian names. And so that would be an additional name. And you had godparents, godfathers, godmothers. And so that extra name that you would be given is part of your name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that factor in?
I grew up Catholic, so I don't. That I feel like that has some connection to it, mm-hmm. because a lot of Latin America is majority Catholic. So I would love to do more research on like where exactly that comes from. But I feel like that rings true in my head when you said that.
You're listening to JX Reads on the Jefferson Exchange. Our book guides today are Kristen Anderson and Milagros Morales from Jackson County Library Services. Milagros, you're recommending another local author's work.
Yes, Carlos Anguiano. He was so kind as to invite the library, myself and our business librarian, Roslyn Donald, to his book launch for Buscando Libertad, which is like nonfiction memoir of follows his story of recovery. And it was so, again, another really moving title when he was doing his book launch and answering questions. He's just like so eloquent when he's speaking, and like those kind of people that you're like, everything you say has so much power behind it. He self-published it on it, and we're hoping to get that into our collection. He was so kind to donate a copy in both English and Spanish. So I'm really excited to get that on our shelves so that our patrons can read it.
So tell me the name and the author's name again.
Buscando Libertad by Carlos Anguiano. And I'm assuming that the English title is Seeking Liberty.
Seeking Liberty.
Yes. Buscando Libertad.
Okay. So this is another nonfiction and it's a memoir.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so that's really interesting. Buscando Libertad.
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to see if I could say it.
Yeah, I know you got it.
Okay. Kristen, yeah. You have several recommended titles that cover a broad range, so let's get into those.
I just threw a whole bunch that I'd loved and thought that if we have time, I could throw some in, but I love the local influence and being able to talk about a local restaurant, which is yummy if you haven't been. Yeah. So I one of the ones that I've read and loved is that keeps coming up is 5 Wounds. Like, I've read it, it's been multiple years and I still think about it, which sometimes doesn't happen for me. Sometimes I read a book and I read like 200 books in a year and then I like forget some of them, but this one keeps coming up. And well, I think
that in of itself just gives me pause.
Which?
That you read so many books in a year.
It's professional development. Yes, I read a lot of books. But so this one, 5 Wounds, is another Borderlands one. I think I really find myself gravitating towards the books that have like a Latinx influence that are in that like Arizona, New Mexico, Southern California, Texas, kind of in the United States. And this one is a multi-generational is another big thing for me. I like deep family stories. And this has a main character who has been chosen to be Jesus in the Holy Week parade in his small, I think it's New Mexican City, and then the family around him. His daughter is very young and pregnant, and so there's five generations of family with humor and kind of lovely relationships amongst them, and certainly conflict, but just how a family navigates something the child's pregnancy is not necessarily something that everyone's excited about, but how do you navigate that once it happens? So that one's lovely.
And Five Wounds is written by?
Oh, sorry, I didn't say that. It's by Kristen Valdez-Quad. I did not look up how to pronounce her last name. It's Quade, and okay. I'm not sure how to pronounce that.
Guade?
Guade.
That's my guess.
Okay.
And then another recent novelist who writes some really lovely stuff that's really New York-centric. And sometimes that doesn't work for me, but Anita de Monte, Laughs Laugh by Xochel Gonzalez is one that I really, really, really loved. It's two timelines, which is another thing that I tend to really like. An artist in the 1980s, and then a more modern storyline where the character is researching this artist who lived a big life and died way too young under mysterious circumstances. And there's stories of like racial identity, but also the differences in privilege in some of these communities in New York. And that one is lovely. Her most recent one is Last Night in Brooklyn.
Okay. So, yeah. So Anita de Monte Laughs Last.
Correct. By Xochel Gonzalez. I think I'm pronouncing that first name right.
How do you pronounce her name?
Xochel? I'm assuming.
Yeah. Okay. You got it. Sorry.
All right. We'll have to leave it there because I don't know how to pronounce any name that starts with XO. You know, that's tough for me.
I thought I'd Googled it and gotten it right, but thank you for correcting me, Milagros.
I've known a Xochel, so I feel like I can't.
A Xochel.
Yeah.
They usually, that XO usually makes like a sh sound.
Yeah.
So gotcha. Xochel. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a cool name, and it looks really pretty on paper, too.
I'm going to have to learn. Thank you for teaching me. You've got a funny title. How Not to Drown
in a Glass of Water. Yeah, by Angie Cruz. I'm pretty sure she's Dominican. And this one is also set in New York City, and it's set around 2000. It's more recently written, but it's set in the 2008 period. And she's probably middle-aged and has found herself out of work, and she has a series of interviews with like the unemployment people. And so each chapter is set up as a question, but then she ends up telling her story in a very, it's first person, it's very light and humorous, but she's got some serious stuff going on. It's a short little book, but it's about navigating kind of big changes in life. And she has a estrangement from one of her children that she's also trying to navigate. And you get to see that's like very slowly revealed the truth of that over the course of the telling. And it's lovely.
Okay. And this is a novel?
It's a novel. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How Not to Drown in a Glass of Water by Angie Cruz.
Cruz. Yep.
Okay. So in our last couple of minutes, let's talk about you both and what you have going on at your respective libraries.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to hear about what we got, what Milagros has come in for Hispanic Heritage Month.
I have a couple different programs that are happening. A classic, Make Your Own Mini Piñata. So if you want to come, have some sweet treats with us. And this is when I also forget. You can go to jcls.org/ Events.
And
you can look at all of the dates that I don't have memorized. We'll also be doing a plant your own marigolds, and then we'll be having a community ofrendas at some of our different branches. The Ashland branch will be having one, so you can come decorate a plastic skull to place on our altar, and you can leave a family photograph of someone who has passed on our community altar, and we can all, you know, get together, remember some of our loved ones, and have some community space. So those are some of the programs that will be happening at some of our different branches.
Okay. And in our last 30 seconds, anything over at the Ashland Library?
Well, always, but I think it's really important to remember during September that it is a library card sign-up month.
Okay.
And library card sign-up month, no matter where you're listening from, because we know not everyone here is listening in Ashland or in Jackson County, every library does this. And part of the reason we do it in September is because a library card is a very, very important school supply, and this is when school is starting.
And we're going to have to leave it there. Thanks to you both for sharing your insights and recommendations. My book guides today were Kristen Anderson and Milagros Morales from Jackson County Library Services. I'm Mike Green. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio.